Hello and welcome to episode 10 of series 5 of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with all that is new in our profession. My name's Craig Smith from The Big Picture People. I'm just going to give you a quick preview of what we've got coming up on our next couple of episodes. On the 7th of May, I have an interview with Melissa Hackmeyer from Merck. Melissa is going to be telling us all about the work that they're doing at Merck using volunteers from within their organization and how that is part of their engagement program. They have a number of fantastic outreach programs within the communities, which is also a global program based around it, getting people involved in science and scientific projects. And their employees staff that process and get involved in that process, and they've got an incredible volunteer program. I initially spoke to Melissa a few years ago during the pandemic, and we were talking very much around how they were making that volunteer program still work during the pandemic. But now Melissa is going to be telling us all about now what they're doing post-pandemic and how that global roadshow is engaging employees and how you can use volunteerism within your organization as part of your engagement program. And then coming up after that on the 21st of May, I have an interview with Sam McNeil. Sam is from Song Division, and Song Division specialize in using music to engage employees. They run events and engagement events, communication events, where music is integral to that process. And Sam is going to be telling us all about how that process works and some of his experiences and the importance of music in engaging employees. It's an often misunderstood or actually unused approach to employee engagement. Visualization, which is what we use, is very common. We're probably familiar with many different forms of employee engagement, but music is a novel approach. And Sam's company and his experience as a musician himself, but also as an employee engager, is a fantastic combination. I'm sure you'll find that a fascinating episode as well. So that's on the 21st of May. So that's all for my preview for the upcoming episodes. Let's get into this episode's interview. We're probably familiar with the term ego. It's something that we tend to use in our vocabulary, sometimes with a negative connotation. We'll say someone has a big ego or they have a low ego. And that tends to lead us to believe that ego is a bad thing. Well, we're going to be looking at the topic of ego and particularly the role that it plays within communication, both on an individual leadership level, but also within our organizations, and how we can better understand what ego is and how we can better cater for its requirements and for the requirements of different types of egos within our organization. So within this conversation, we're also going to look at the importance of self-awareness and the ownership of self-awareness. And then, as I said, we're going to go into looking at ego and ego management and how we can better understand what ego is, how our ego plays out in our own individual behaviors, but also how, as internal communicators and employee engagers, we can better understand the impact of ego on our people, our leaders, and within our organizations too, within the different levels within our organizations. So that's the topic for today, the role of ego in communication. My guest today is Christy Garcia. Christy was frustrated at watching the talent of individuals being promoted into management positions and then failing to reach their leadership potential. These individuals have been praised for years based upon their own individual success and their I mentality. However, once promoted, they struggle to turn the corner and adopt the big picture perspective and the we mindset. Christy realized that it was time to ditch old training models and create programs on developing leadership effectiveness. Christy now seeks to reintroduce the human element into leadership development and immediately make a positive impact on the person's overall potential. So, hello, Christy. How are you?
Hi, Craig. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Christy, and it's good to speak to you. And I just sort of point out for our listeners that my usual platform that I use to record podcasts decided to malfunction, so we've jumped onto a Zoom call. So should be as good a quality as usual. But just to point out that we're recording this on a non-dedicated podcast platform, but it still sounds good to me, my end anyway. So thank you for your patience as well while we've sorted all that out. So, just for our listeners, Christy, whereabouts are you in the world? Where are you positioned at the moment?
I am located out in California, the Central Coast, kind of rural America.
Yeah, yeah. And that, hence, this is the kind of back end of my day, early your day, your time. So what time is it in in the US, in the California at the moment?
9:15 in the morning.
9:15 in the morning, yeah. And it's 5:15 over here. So you're starting your day and I'm coming to the end of mine. So anyway, it's great to be speaking to you, and I thank you for your flexibility. Tell us, I gave a kind of an introduction there to what you're doing now and a little bit about what's driven you towards that. Maybe put it in your own words, Christy. Tell us a little bit more about your work now and also that kind of frustration that you found a number of years ago that led you to do what you're doing now.
Yeah, so I have been running my business for the last 13 years. It's called Mindful Choice. And I've been working with fast-growing organizations. You know, what really got me intrigued in this world, there's a couple different things, but I would say the most intriguing part is when my past life in medical sales, you know, I kept seeing all these really great sales reps get promoted to leadership roles. And there was always a training gap to where they weren't feeling as successful. They were really struggling. They had lots of doubts of what they were doing and really didn't have the confidence once they got there, because it was a hard gig and it was definitely a hard transition from, you know, I need to be the best rep. I need to win. I need to get to the top of the ranks and all that fun stuff to, oh, wait, now I have to get my whole team there. And at first I really didn't understand the gap until I started doing my own training around coaching and really understanding how that self-awareness and ego show up. And it started to really be so apparent that the common leadership development approach back then was, you know, train people on competencies, train them, you know, all the same, give them leadership skills, and then they'll thrive. And that just really never worked. So I really started to build out a program that was all about, you know, identifying one's self-awareness. What's your current impact? What is your ability to have that we mindset and how to shift it quickly? So my goal was to get people up and running in 6 months versus 2 to 3 years and really bridge that gap. And that's where the Mindful Choice Leadership Academy has come from. We've been able to use and train organizations like Airbnb and Twitter and Oakley, a lot of fast growing organizations, a lot of stable organizations that just were ready for a modern approach.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think that will resonate with a lot of our listeners as well. That whole, you know, kind of promoting people based around their technical skills and expecting them to suddenly metamorphose into someone who's kind of emotionally intelligent and able to lead and not just seeing that as a kind of an extension of their own technical ability, I think is often a mistake that organizations make. And even not training people in the first place to be what it involves to being a manager, assuming they'll just naturally make that transition, which is probably one of the most difficult transitions that people have to make. I want to kind of go through some of the areas that we talked about in our kind of pre-conversation before we recorded the interview. And there are a number of areas that you talked about, and you just mentioned one of them there, which is this idea of self-awareness and ownership. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and why that's important in the context of what we've just what you've just talked about there in terms of, you know, leaders turning into leaders and not just, you know, more managers with more complicated work or people with more complicated managerial tasks to do.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I have really noticed since I've been in this business, but I think even prior to that, was the harsh truth that comes with that awareness. When you have that moment that you're like, whoa, I really didn't get that was my unconscious habit that I used to do or that I currently do. And so really where I started to dig deep into my own coach training, mostly at the time, just to benefit my own self and my own life. But I think what happened was I really learned how unconscious humans really are. You know, most of the time we're going through the motions. And I think when we can stop and really think about our current impact, you know, self-awareness, I would say 90% of the time when I ask someone, how aware are you? The first meeting that we have, 90% of the room says, very aware. Yeah. You know, I really am aware of what I do. I'm really aware of my impact. And about 2 to 3 weeks in, you've got people going, wow, I had no idea how unattached I was to what I was actually doing. Yeah. Because 95% of the time, we're unconsciously going through the motions. Excuse me. That doesn't have to be a bad thing. You know, when I start to talk about the unconscious brain, really, I'm referring to the ego. The ego is our unconscious habits, mindsets, and beliefs. And when we are not intentional, when we're not present, we are letting this ego run our show. Our ego is both our strengths and our weaknesses. So it's not really, again, a bad thing. It can be, make us very successful. And if you're in a leadership role, most likely your ego helped you get here. It is ambitious. It's the driver. It knows how to make good decisions. It knows how to get to the finish line fast and effectively. Now, with that being said, it can also be overused. And that's really where I started to build the academy. It's where are you overusing this ego? And through that self-awareness and ownership is really how we identify, you know, current impact looks like this. What do you want your current impact to look like? And where are the gaps? And then we can really identify how that ego is making that gap not effective, or it's actually sabotaging the success you want.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I agree with you again. Self-awareness, I think, it's kind of a weird thing to ask people, isn't it? Because you have to ask them how self-aware they are, but they always overestimate that. And the ownership aspect again is that accountability. It's that recognition that, you know, if it's to be, it's up to me kind of perspective, I guess. Is that what you mean by ownership?
The ownership, I think, is much deeper in the work that I do. It's really about, you know, there's a surface level self-awareness. A lot of times we will know our weaknesses, right? We know we do it. Maybe we know we can be too aggressive. Maybe we know we're a micromanager. Maybe we know that we could be passive. Maybe we go along to get along, whatever our thing is. A lot of times we'll know that, but we're not owning it to a place where ownership allows us to change it. When it's just an unconscious awareness, again, the ego's like, yeah, I know I do that, whatever. We just write it off. We blow it off. We accept that that's just how we are, and everyone else needs to accept it too. Where when you take it to that next level of ownership, it's like, wow, I can change that, because that's truly a choice. And that's where we want to get people to. And it's a journey, right? You can't just have self-awareness today and tomorrow you take ownership and the next day you change something. That's really not how it works. Yes. Unfortunately, I wish, because that would be like a magic wand or the super diet pill. Unfortunately, this is a lifelong journey, and self-awareness changes, right? As life changes, as circumstances change, our awareness levels do too. Our needs do too. And so being able to stop and reassess and reflect and choose a new way based on this new level of awareness, based on today's circumstances, to then be able to have a new level of awareness or ownership, that's really how you can just evolve over time. Mindful choice is all about just being 1% better every day.
Yeah.
This isn't something that's a massive change overnight. This is just being intentional every day to be a little bit better tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how we become better humans at the end of the month, end of the year, in 5 years from now, at the end of our life, we get to say, wow, I was really proud of myself. I was intentional. I led with, you know, integrity. I was authentic, because again, every day you woke up with an intention to just be a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's go on to talk about ego management then, because that's obviously a factor in that. And I guess ego is one of those terms that we kind of have a working definition of, which may or may not be the proper definition in the context that you use it, Christy. So can you give us a little bit of an understanding of that term? Because as I say, we use it as a way of labeling people or labeling a trait within people, but maybe not fully understanding it. So when we talk about ego, what are we talking about? And what are some of the ways that we can manage our own ego? And again, linking into that self-awareness piece that you've just talked about.
Mm-hmm. So I look at the ego as the unconscious mindset, beliefs, and behaviors that we all have. It is our unconscious mind. Every single one of us has it, or has one. You know, we can either own it or we can deny it. Even if you deny it, it's still showing up. It's still, you know, impacting your conversations, impacting your day. And so I think really being able to recognize and take ownership of it is what allows you to be a more effective manager and leader. It allows you to have more productive conversations, to align your team members, to show up with confidence and really trust yourself, which allows you to trust other people. And this is really the cycle that we do in the academy, is teach people how to lead with confidence through a place of true authenticity. You know, so often people are like, oh, I want to be an authentic leader. Well, a lot of times that's just the ego saying, I want to be an authentic leader, but they don't really know exactly how that feels or looks. And this program truly allows you to do that, because again, you accept your good, bad, and ugly. None of us are perfect. And when we can start to learn about the egos, there's three of them that we refer to in the Mindful Choice Academy. And when we can learn the egos and how they show up, we can then identify all the different egos in our room or on our team. We can identify the different egos in our families, and we can start to change conversations. Mm. We cannot change people. We can change how we show up in our own approach, which can change how others show up. Mm. And that really is the power of ego management.
Mm. Oh, and if you could you share those three egos briefly, Christy, just so we can get a kind of flavor from an kind of idea of what they are and what they look like and how we might relate to them?
Of course. So the three egos, there's the complier. The complier is the people ego. It's the one that's warm, inviting, caring, friendly. You walk into a room of strangers, you're going to walk out with friends. Mm. They care deeply about people. So people first.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, where the complier overuses those strengths is that they can put other people's first or needs first. And so a lot of times they will go along to get along. They'll struggle to delegate. They'll struggle to give feedback. They might tell people what they want to hear instead of just telling them the truth because they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. So a lot of what a complier is motivated by is being liked. And when we can understand that about either ourselves or a team member, we can now change and recognize behaviors in the room to be able to have a new dialogue and empower a complier to show up with confidence, to speak their truth, to share their wisdom, instead of them feeling that, oh gosh, if I say that, someone's not going to like it, or they're going to get upset, or there's going to be an emotional reaction that I want to avoid because conflict is scary. And so being able to really boost confidence for the complier is key. And then you've got the protector. The protector is high integrity, lots of authenticity. It's where confidence lives. It is deep values and our ability to speak truth. We love and care deeply from our protector. Now, unfortunately, what happens with the protector, because again, it is value rooted, it can be very black and white. It can be very stubborn. It can be, they can come across as confrontational or difficult to work with. They can be very aggressive or very passive. Mm. They're motivated about being right. And so if they're not right, they don't have any worth or value. So a lot of times they're trying to convince everybody, or they'll argue their point to prove to themselves that they're right. So a lot of times when you start to recognize and protect your ego in the room, you start to kind of help, you can help dilute the emotional response they're having by, understanding and recognizing with empathy, instead of usually it creates more judgment and confrontation.
Okay.
And so that's really where egos, where we have the power of ego management, is to bring more empathy in humans back to the conversations. And then you've got the controller. The controller is motivated by being the best and winning. And so these are your drivers, very ambitious, tends to be high achievers, always, wants to get the finish line first, really, really focused, big ideas, big action. They move like a freight train. Unfortunately, with that energy, it is contagious. It is a lot of motivation and inspiration comes from the controller. Unfortunately, it can also be an energy killer. It can be micromanaging. It can be a perfectionist that puts unrealistic expectations on themselves and others. So very defeating or burnout comes from the controller. It can come across as non-emotional, so very hyper-rational, which is a gift until it's not. And so really recognizing where is that controller serving you and where are you going to end up at the finish line by yourself.
Okay. Oh, that's very good. Oh, thank you. That's really, really good. I got a really vivid picture of that. And are you saying that we all have a kind of combination of those egos? It's a bit like a kind of a graphic equalizer that we can ramp them up or turn them down, and they change at different points of our lives. Those three elements of our own egos. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so usually we have one to two dominant egos, which is why we tend to be off balance sometimes.
Yeah.
And the trick is to learn how to use all three. Mm. All three egos balance each other out. And so we become our best self when we know how to use all three. We can lead with integrity and values and truth, we can also lead by caring about the people and making sure everyone's taken care of so that when we do get to that finish line fast and we achieve great success, we have a whole team or army behind us. Yeah. And so that's really where we become a very powerful, confident leader that's not out to prove themselves. We're not chasing ghosts. We're just really just showing up 100%, which naturally makes the world, you know, a better place and helps us be more successful at the end of the day.
Okay. No, that's very good. In terms of, our audience, which a lot of them will be kind of obviously interested in this egos and the use of egos and leadership. And they'll be, you know, as internal communications managers and professionals and employee engagement professionals, they'll be, you know, really deeply invested in the way that their leaders come across. And this will be of specific interest to them. But I'm kind of thinking, how does this kind of scale up? So is this something that we can scale into mass communication? And again, obviously, it's going to be less on a kind of, you know, bespoke individual by individual basis, but building in this awareness of ego into our communications so that we cater for a broader audience and make sure that we don't just kind of pander to our own specific egos by communicating what we think people want to hear. Is that a thing? And is that something that you can kind of talk about in terms of this use of ego and using ego in communications and on a bigger scale, I guess?
100%. You know, I think once you understand that the ego is triggered by emotion, it's triggered by change and confusion and uncertainty, you know, everything that our world goes through on a regular basis. So the reality is the more people that learn about their ego, the more people can manage that ego, right? And if you look at an organizational level, let's say, you know, a team of 500 people, you start to bring in ego management at the top. You start to manage the egos at the top. They start to learn how to manage the egos at the bottom. You now have a less drama. You have more clear communication. You are thriving because you have brought the humans back to business. You know, that's one of my favorite things that I hear from clients. Once people understand their ego, they no longer want to talk from their own perspective because they recognize there's three different perspectives in the room. Mm. And so it truly humanizes our relationships again. And it gives us permission to not be perfect. It gives us permission to own our flaws and our weaknesses, which allows everybody else in the room to do the same.
Yeah.
On a daily basis, most of the time we walk into a room, everybody's trying to prove their worth and value. I'm supposed to be here. I got to prove it. Because every single one of us has some level of insecurity that's saying, ooh, they're going to see through you. You've got a little bit of fraud going on. You know, that you're not really good enough or you're not going to be as good as that person. And we're doing a lot of judging, comparing, blaming, wishing. And we're never really just owning what we bring to the table. And when you start to do this work around the ego, you just get to own your part and why you earned the seat at the table. And everybody else in the room is doing the exact same thing. So the conversations are just more effective, more productive, because no one's trying to talk over the other person. No one's trying to have the better idea. So you become more collaborative, more alignment. Everybody's on the same page. And it really does allow freedom. So whether you're talking about in a boardroom, within an organization, or within a family or a community, if you can stay neutral and recognize your part in the ego world, you can actually start to manage everybody else's ego around you. And that really is the power of this work. You know, yeah. Step one is learning how to do it yourself. Step two is learning how to teach it and train other people to do the same, or help people manage it unconsciously, because you have now learned how to not trigger other people's egos just by using a language that they can hear versus recognizing that, you know what, their ego's triggered right now. Now I'm going to get triggered, because once one ego's in the room, everybody likes to follow suit.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And I guess, you know, in a world, and quite rightly, you know, focusing on diversity in its broadest sense, where a lot of that is around surface diversity characteristics, I think it's important to recognize that this is another part of diversity, isn't it? It's that recognition of neurodiversity. It's that recognition that We can understand each other better and respect that we've got different ways of doing things. And that's not because we're in, you know, there's a flaw in our personality. It's just because we've got different focus and different emphasis. And actually by bringing those different focuses and different emphasis together, we can actually be stronger as a team rather than all kind of thinking in the same way, which never tends to lead to a good outcome from my experience.
Most definitely. And I think to add to that, you know, we start to appreciate other people's strengths and weaknesses and, you know, where they're at in the moment. Instead of looking at it as a threat or as a weakness or, you know, as something that's going to hurt the team, we start to get more curious. You know, how can that support us? What's that really telling us? You know, someone who's getting triggered in your office, is that means you're most likely triggering a client or somebody else in the space, right? And so when you can start to just get curious, like, what about our products or what about our service is triggering them? And now we can turn it around and say, hey, is there something in our marketing that's triggering people? Is there something in our language that needs to be changed? Is there something in our approach or our culture? And I think that's where typically when the ego is running the show unconsciously, again, it's not always bad, but it's less intentional, it's less aware. And it's definitely more tunnel vision. And so when you can just elevate your viewpoint and everyone else's up, you start to get things away from the individual. So it's no longer matters what I want or what I need or what Joe down the hall needs. It's now, what does everybody need? What does our client need? What does our community need? What does our world need? And we start to make different decisions based on the greater good instead of just who's it going to serve right here, right now? Because that's a very egocentric approach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's been fantastic, Christy. So any other final tips, just you know, again, just thinking about our audience and you've already given us lots of valuable insights there. Anything else in terms of, you know, using some of the knowledge that you have, some of the tools that you have in that kind of employee engagement or anything that you want to reiterate that you've already said, perhaps?
You know, I think going back to just if someone's looking to be more successful. I always tell people this isn't just for someone that needs to, you know, improve something. This is for people who are already doing great and want to just be even more successful. Because again, these are traits and behaviors, thoughts, mindsets, and beliefs that, you know, are again, are our strengths and our weaknesses. So if you're an organization, you have a great group of leaders, or you're an individual who just wants to step up your leadership, get into ego management, learn more about it, and figure out what are you doing that's, you know, working for you, what's your current impact, where do you want to grow and change, and really see how it can just open up so much more freedom. Ego management truly is the freedom that we all desire, that ability to, you know, show up and wake up and feel confident in what you're doing. And then in your day saying, wow, it was a good day. You know what? I can always do better, but right now I feel good with how it went and I am proud of what I did, and I'm going to go home and shift gears and I'm going to balance this part of my life now. And it really just becomes a place to be free to the life you want to live instead of truly letting that ego dictate, you know, how you're showing up, what conversations you're going to have, having so much drama or doubt or worry or fear of how things are going to go, and allowing yourself just to show up and be you. You're capable of cleaning up the mess. And so, you know, trust the process of it.
Excellent. Well, that's brilliant. Thank you, Christy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a link to your LinkedIn profile into the show notes. Is there anything else you'd like to stick into the show notes that for our listeners? So if they want to kind of follow up on, I mean, obviously contacting you probably through LinkedIn, but have you any resources that you'd like us to share onto the show notes?
Absolutely. I would love if anybody would like to go to the my website, mindfulchoiceacademy.com. Again, that's mindfulchoiceacademy.com. And there you can learn more about the egos. We also are opening up enrollment for our leadership academies. So both for individuals and organizations, if you're interested in putting a group or an individual through it, it is a great opportunity to maximize your year and really find that extra success and impact that you're wanting to create this year.
Okay. Is that an online program as well as a face-to-face program?
It is. It's 100% digital. And then you can add in and upgrade with some leadership assessment tools and coaching as well. Okay. Lots of group workshops as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, well, we'll put a link into that into the show notes. So if anybody can't remember that, or, you know, go onto the show notes at engagingic.com, find this interview, and you'll see that on the show notes page if you want to remind yourself, with along with Christy's LinkedIn profile. Okay, well, thank you so much, Christy. I'll let you get back to your... Is the weather good in California at the moment? Is it sunny and shining, beautiful sunshine out there? Or
today we're getting the clouds again. Yesterday was about 80 and sunny. So it was it's been a lovely couple of days. We're back to some rain and some cooler weather, which is amazing. I definitely miss the rain and cold. I lived in London for a little while and I love that winter weather. So,
I can tell you it's not novelty is rapidly wearing off. It's got dull, cold, dark and wet at the moment. And I'd swap you for a few days anyway, but no, never mind.
There you go.
Anyway, look, Christy, that's been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for your patience at the beginning as well, whilst we had our technical glitches. And it's been great to speak to you, and I really appreciate your time to share with us a really interesting topic there. So thank you so much, Christy.
Thank you, Craig. I really appreciate it. I hope your audience appreciates it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. If you've got any ideas for episodes you'd like us to cover in future, you can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can use the feedback form at engagingic.com. If you're not already subscribed to the show via your podcast platform, please do so. And if you could leave a review for us, that would be absolutely fantastic. We have links to other episodes at engagingic.com. All of our previous episodes are available there. And if you're interested in our visual communication services, our big pictures, our learning maps, our explainer videos, and also our live graphic recording, please get in touch with us again at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk. Thank you.